In church world, for those, particularly for those that believe, it really is. I love the long weekend. Do you love the long weekend? I kind of love it, even though I never get it, like you guys, because we're in church Friday, we're in church Sunday. But I love the fact we have a long weekend. I love chocolate. Anyone else love chocolate? Yeah, come on. I love hot cross buns. Yeah, I love them. What else do we eat? Fish. Who's a good Catholic? Eats fish on Good Friday and Saturday, and yeah, I just eat everything. It's fantastic. I love it. It's just a great time of the year. It's a wonderful time of the year. They say that about Christmas, but I think that about Easter at the same time. Dave Gilpin. Everyone say Dave Gilpin. No, he didn't die and resurrect for you, but Dave Gilpin is going to be with us, as Church News said, not next Sunday, but the following one, Sunday the 23rd. Dave will be with us in the morning and then at night for the Team Talk Night. Love to invite you to be at the Team Talk Night. Dave has been invited very purposely. We always very intentionally invite our guests. We just don't fill a preaching roster because we have the best preachers in the world right here. We really do. I wasn't talking about myself. We have the best preachers in the world right here. And so we're not really interested in bringing someone in to preach. But what we want to do is bring voices in that are in relationship with us, with our leadership, and with our church. And so Dave and his wife Jenny are becoming that for us. And we'll bring them in several times this year and then next year, three or four times. And they'll just come and eat some food with us and sit around our leadership tables. And because so much good happens around tables. It really does. If you're a member of our church, if this is your home, I want to invite you and encourage you just to open up your table to people, and particularly new people around church world. If you want to get to know someone, invite them to your home and just share a meal with them, or meet them at a cafe, share a meal with them, have a coffee with them, get to know them. It's a good thing to do. That's what we want to do with Dave and Jenny for our leaders, and then we're going to bring them in preaching on Sundays and also doing other things with us as a church. And so they're going to become part of the voice to our church and part of the voice of our church, and I think that's a really good deal. He's hilarious. He's everything I'm not. He's hilarious. He's magnetic, and an amazing Bible teacher. And you're going to fall in love with both Dave and Jenny. Guarantee you that. Well, it's Easter Sunday, and you know I love Easter Friday. I also love Easter Sunday. What I love about Easter Sunday was the lights came on Easter Sunday in that very dark tomb where they'd laid the body of Jesus, because they all really thought it was over. They thought it was done and dusted. The devil thought he'd won. The disciples thought they'd lost. The people who followed Jesus, they were disillusioned until the lights came on Sunday morning. And when the women came to the tomb to retrieve the body of Jesus so they could prepare him for permanent burial, that's what they were going to do. They were going to prepare his body for a permanent visit in the grave, to stay and remain there. They were going to embalm him. The angel said, he's not here. Everyone say, he's not here. He's not here. He is here today, but he's not here back then on that day, on the very first resurrection morning in the tomb. I am so grateful the world never found the body of Jesus. I am so grateful they didn't discover it, because if we had a body, we would have had a monument. We would have had a mountain to go to. We would have had a place, a Mecca, that we all would have to visit and journey to worship our God. But our God is everywhere. Our God is in us. Our God is on us. Our God is working through us. He's not dead. He is alive. And that's the good news of the Easter story. Today, we're talking about no greater victory. On Friday, we did no greater love. Today, it's no greater victory. And I want to suggest to you today that there is no greater victory for you and I. There is no greater victory for our world. There has never been a greater victorious moment experienced than when Jesus came out of the grave, conquered death, and rose to live forever. There's no greater victory than that for all of us. You know, there are two very distinct moments in the Easter story. There's Friday and there's Sunday, and there's a whole lot that happened between those 2 days. On Friday, it's all about the cross, no greater love. But Sunday, it's all about the resurrection and the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, meaning no greater victory. The Friday part is the part of the story, the account of what happened for Jesus that many people identify with. Many people can identify with the cross and the fact that Jesus went to the cross and he paid for our sins. He laid down his life. He was killed. He died on that cross for us. A lot of people identify with that part of the story because it's not a difficult thing to think that someone would die on a cross. Jesus is not unique in terms of dying on the cross. A lot of people have died on crosses. In the reign of Caesar Augustus, there were 3,000 people that were crucified in one day. In one day, 3,000 people were crucified on one day. So in terms of somebody dying on the cross, it wasn't an irregular thing in that Roman Empire. It wasn't something that hadn't happened before. There were a lot of people that died on the cross, but there was only one. Say only one. Only one who rose from the dead. Nobody else rose from the dead. Nobody else has ever risen from the dead except Jesus Christ. And so the part of the story about the resurrection is the part that we struggle with. A lot of people struggle with the concept of Jesus resurrecting to life again. And so there's been many disputing thoughts and arguments around the Bible thought of the resurrection. Some thought that the disciples had come during the night and stolen the body of Jesus and took it. Mind you, they did that through a garrison of Roman soldiers that were guarding the tomb, that were looking after the body to make sure that no one would steal it. And yet these clumsy disciples who couldn't organize a church picnic, if you read the history, somehow stumbled into this moment and rescued the body. I don't think so. I don't think they stole the body. The plan was always that the body would never be found, because the plan of the Father was to resurrect Jesus to life and life forevermore. You know, Easter is really our greatest victory simply because of what Christ did for us. Because of what Christ did for us. And today, I want this to be your take home. I want you to take home the thought of there's no greater victory for me than what Jesus has already done for me. And as Pastor Marichelle hinted before, the victory is in what Christ has done. It's not in what you do. It's in what Christ has done. And you are more than a conqueror today because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's why you're more than a conqueror, because of Jesus. Let's go over some simple Bible truths to explain what this victory is all about. The Bible says that Jesus paid the wages of sin. He paid the wages of our sin. This is what the Bible says, Romans 3:23. I remember learning these verses when I was first learning Bible verses as a teenager about the gospel. And this is the 101 of what the reason is as to why we needed a Savior. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All means all. It means absolutely every human being has fallen short, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23, Paul says, for the wages of sin is death. Sin has a wage. It has a wage. The wages of sin is death. That's what you earn for sin. But the free gift of God, not just the gift, the free gift from God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died to pay the wages that were due for our sin. He paid the price for the wages of our sin, which was death. Someone had to die for sins. And up until this point, every man and woman and child were dying for their own sin, whereas Jesus paid this price to die for everybody's sin when he died on the cross of Calvary. He paid the demand that the wages applied for the sin of man. Here's my thought. If Jesus going to the cross is so powerful, so significant, so complete, which it is, it is all of that, if it's so powerful, significant and complete, if Friday, when Jesus went to the cross, took care of everything that we need to make us right with God, then why did there need to be a Sunday? Why did there need to be a resurrection? Why could Jesus not just die on the cross and then that's it? Why not just leave him in the tomb? Why not just leave the body be? Why not just leave him at rest? Because he'd already paid the price. And here's the reason why. Because it wasn't just about the payment of the wages of sin. It was about the gift that God wanted to give us, the free gift of eternal life. And to earn that right, Jesus had to rise from the dead and conquer our final enemy, conquer our biggest fear, conquer the biggest enemy that human beings have. And so going to the cross wasn't really about death. It was really about life. It was really about that positive, eternal life that God wants to give to every human being. So it was the payment of the wages that Jesus paid when he died and then rising again that gives us this free gift of God to live forever. So why did Jesus need to rise from the dead? Well, he needed to rise from the dead to prove that he really was who he claimed to be. You see, anyone could die. You will die, I will die, we will die. There will come a day when you don't exist anymore. But to rise from the dead, that's a whole new deal. That's a whole new deal. Plenty had been crucified and died. But nobody that claimed to be able to rise again actually rose from the dead except for Jesus. And Jesus literally made this claim. He said, destroy this temple, speaking of his own life and body, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll rise from the dead again. I will be raised to life within 3 days. He proclaimed it, he declared it, he prophesied it. So it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to back it up. It's a whole new level to be able to do what you are proclaiming. So Jesus rose from the dead to have an eternal proof that he is God in the flesh and he has the power over sin and over death. Why did Jesus need to rise from the dead? To prove that what he said was true. To prove that what he had preached and what he had taught was true. True. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:17, where he shares a whole passage, a whole chapter around the whole thought of the resurrection and our resurrection bodies. He said, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. So if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, we still have our sins on us. We still have our guilt on us and we still need to die for our sins. Here's the good news about Jesus rising from the dead and dying and rising from the dead. Because he did that, you don't have to die and stay dead. You don't have to die and stay dead. I'm going to explain that a little bit more in a moment. So if the resurrection is not true, then everything Jesus said is untrue. If it's not true, then everything he said is untrue. And Paul says our trust in God is therefore useless. It's fruitless if Jesus has not been raised from the dead. Our faith is a waste of time, what Paul says in this passage. Our coming to church and doing what we do and celebrating like we celebrate, it's a total waste of our energy if Christ has not been raised from the dead. But most importantly, we're still bound in our sins. But Paul goes on and concludes, he says, but he has been raised from the dead, so therefore what he said is true, and our faith is beneficial to every single one of us. Why did Jesus need to rise from the dead? Well, he did it to conquer death for us. He did it to conquer death for us. You know, celebrating the Easter moment is, it's a good thing to do, but even better is to experience the reality of Easter for yourself. Because Easter is not just something to be celebrated. Easter is something to be experienced. It's something for every human being to experience. It's more than an event. It's an experience for every human being. The resurrection that Jesus provides for us has power for us to come alive, has power for us to come alive in this life and also the life to come. Jesus appeared to the Apostle John when he wrote the book of Revelation and when he was going to write the letters to the seven churches. And this is what Jesus said when he appeared to John. He said, "I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive." That's impressive. "I died, but look, I don't know when the last time somebody said that to you was, but I'm guaranteeing it's never happened before. Jesus is the only one, the first one that said it. He said, "I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys." There's a real key coming here now. "I hold the keys of death and the grave. I hold the keys, the authority over death and the grave." So Jesus proclaimed that he has the keys to both life and to death. That he was resurrected to unlock the power of death for every single one of us. That's important because of this reason. Death is man's ultimate fear. The ultimate fear that we all have is dying. The ultimate fear we all have is death. It's a mystery to us. We really don't understand death. I don't know how often you've been there, how close you've been to people in those moments, but because of what I do, I experience this moment on a regular basis with people being right at the doorway of death, of departing from this life. And I've got to be honest with you, I never cease to be amazed at the beauty, at the strength, at the resilience, at the bravery of believers as they stand literally at the doorway of departing this life into the next life. And I think all of that resilience and all of that bravery and all of that poise that they hold in their heart in that moment of transition is because of a simple faith that death is not the end, but there is a free gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I sat with a beautiful young mum in our church who passed away just a couple of weeks ago. I sat with her on the Friday and I talked to her about going to meet Jesus because she was obviously very close to going to meet Jesus. She had cancer. She was 34 years of age. I spoke with her on the Friday. I talked to her about this moment of transition that was about to happen. It looked like it was imminent, and she died on the Sunday morning. Went to her funeral, and I remember saying to her on the Friday how proud I was of her for just the bravery that she was showing, for the resilience of spirit that she had. She didn't fear death. She just wanted to maximize every moment she still had on this earth, on this planet, with her family, her 4-year-old son, her 28-year-old husband. You know, there was so much in that moment that you just don't understand. And I went to the funeral service and I was asked to share some thoughts. And I said to the family, mum and dad, who aren't believers as far as I understand, and a lot of people in this room, there were very, very few people that were believers as we would understand it. And I started my presentation by saying there's just no words. There's no words, there's no defense, there's no explanation, there's no understanding why this happened to your beautiful daughter. But this one thing I know about your beautiful daughter, she was brave. She was resilient. She had a simple trust and faith in Jesus Christ, and she believed that the end was not the end, but there was a future for her. There was a life. There was an everlasting life. There was an eternal life. And I love the bravery of those moments, because you and I are going to be in that moment one day. All of us are going to be in that moment. And when you're in that moment, you need to be able to understand that transition with the thought, this is not the end. This is not the end. My greatest victory is coming. My greatest victory is coming. I'm about to conquer the grave like Jesus conquered the grave. They'll put my body in a tomb like they put Jesus's body in a tomb. But that tomb won't hold me down. That tomb is not going to contain me. It's not going to hold me. It's not going to restrict me. I'm going to live again. I'm going to be raised to life again and receive the free gift of eternal life. Why? Because Jesus paid the wages for my sin. He paid the cost. He paid the price for my sin. You know, a lot of people think that it's just the grave and that's it. It's just we have this life and we have no future after that. That's what a lot of people think and believe about life. And so today I want to share some thoughts to help us experience this moment called our greatest victory. Like the Apostle Paul, he writes to the church in Philippi in the book of Philippians in the Bible. He says, I want you to know Christ and I want you to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. So Paul's hinting here at the fact that not only can we know Jesus personally, but we can also know the same power that raised him from the dead. There's a power that gave life to Jesus. There's a power that raised Jesus from the dead this day that we celebrate the resurrection. And so here's some simple thoughts about that. Number one, if we're going to live this kind of life, live this victorious life that God wants us to live, number one, we need to live free. Because the price is paid. We need to live free because the price is paid. There is nothing worse than seeing someone walk around like they have the weight of the world on their shoulders, the burden of life on their shoulders, so restricted, so limited, so much held back in life because they're not living free, they're living bound. We weren't called to live bound, we were called to live free. Live free in this life that God has given us. And so my question is, have you experienced what the cross did for us? Have you experienced what Jesus did for you when he died on the cross of Calvary? That you could live forgiven because your sins are forgiven. You can live forgiven because your sins are taken away. You see, forgiveness happens in a moment. In a moment. To be made right with God is not as complicated as we want to make it out. It's not as complicated as we want to make it out. It's as simple as believing in Jesus, in who he was and is, and what he has done and what he is doing for you. And that decision of belief can change your life forever in a moment. Forever in a moment. By believing in him, we are saved. So the first thing we need to do is live free. Live free. And you can't live free until you know you're free, until you've been set free, until the chains come off and your sins are forgiven. And that's the invitation that Good Friday gives to every one of us. Jesus didn't die on the tree for me. He died on the tree for all. For all of us. For every human being. When you are set free, then you need to live restored. To live restored, because redemption is our right. God wants to redeem so much in our lives, so much in our world. What Jesus does as you get to know him is he brings life to the dead areas of your life. You know, we've all got dead areas in our lives, stuff that needs recreating, reforming. Stuff that needs to be redeemed. Stuff that needs to be brought back to life. This is what God specializes in. God specializes in restoration. God specializes in redemption. God specializes in bringing the value back in things. So many people think, well, you know, I'll never be the same again. I had my moment. I had my chances. I had my opportunities. And I messed up. I goofed up and I'm scarred forever. And I can never have that chance again. It's ruined for me is what a lot of people think. And a lot of people are simply ruined because they give up. Because they give up. The way to walk out of your ruins is to realize that Christ is forgiven and Christ is redeeming. Now, forgiveness happens in a moment, but redemption takes time. Redemption is a journey. Redemption takes a little bit of time. We used to sing a beautiful old song in church many years ago. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, Christ understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful out of my life. Something beautiful, something good. You know, Jesus is literally making you beautiful. Turn to your neighbour and say, he's still got a bit of work to do on you yet. he's got a bit of work to do. It's still a bit of work. How many of you know there's still a bit of work? Come on. Got a little bit of ugly going on. It's just going to take a little bit of time. It's a little bit of time. But here's the good news. God is going to give you the time. He's just going to work on you bit by bit. And you're going to become more redeemed day by day. The Bible says from glory to glory. In other words, moment to moment, day by day, God just makes you better and better and better. Is it any wonder, Tim, you're looking more beautiful every day? Is it any wonder? God's working on all that ugly. And he's just forming it to be better and better and better. Because forgiveness happens in a moment. But restoration is a journey, and God invites us all to be restored. To be restored. You know, the things that haven't worked out, the things that have gone wrong, the things that we've messed up, God restores those things, turns a mess into a message, is what he does. And he's brilliant at that, restoring the damaged areas of life. Paul says in Romans 8, the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Can we stop there? The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, abides in you, in all of your weakness and even brokenness and lack or whatever it might be. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and brought life to him in that dead tomb lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies, to your humanness, by the same Spirit that's living within you. You know what God does? Is he brings life to us. Life to us. Life to us. Life to our humanness. Life to our weaknesses. Life to the things that are dying around our world and around our life. And so Easter is not an event. It's an invite to a journey towards your greatest victory. It's an invite to your journey towards your greatest victory, a process where God restores and rebuilds life. How does God do this? How does God do it? How does he restore and rebuild our lives? How does he bring us to our point of greatest victory? Well, firstly, stop dying. Turn to your neighbor and say, stop it. Stop it. Stop dying. Don't live dead. Don't live dead. Don't live like a corpse. Don't live as if it's all over, because it's not over. Stop the decay. Reverse the curse. Literally go from death to life, not life to death. Most people think we go from life to death, but we literally, the Bible talks about us going from death to life. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, but we're going towards eternal life. We're going towards eternal life. C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, says this. He says, Easter is death working backwards. Easter is death working backwards. In other words, it's going to life. Easter is really all about life. We make it about Jesus dying on the cross, and that, yes, that's a very important part and moment of the whole process and understanding of Easter. But Sunday is really what it was all about. It was always about getting life to us. It was always about breaking free for us, is what Jesus did. So Jesus is the only one that can literally define or redefine or reverse the decay that goes on in our lives, because he paid the price. He paid the price, so I didn't have to pay it. Aren't you glad you don't have to pay your price today for your sins? Aren't you glad that that blood's not on your hands? Aren't you glad that there's not this expectation that you've got to live up to earn your right of redemption and your right of relationship with God? But it was once and forever done through what Jesus Christ did, through giving up his life on the cross. Jesus opened the way for your life to be lived to its fullest. Jesus was one day speaking to a woman in the Bible called Martha, who she was upset and disappointed because her brother Lazarus had died, and Lazarus was really close to Jesus, and Jesus was close friends with Lazarus. And they'd sent a message to Jesus to say, hey, come, Jesus, can you come? Because Lazarus is, he's not doing real well, and we think he's going to die very shortly. And Jesus appeared to take his time getting there. He didn't drop everything and run from one village to another. He took his time. It was 4 days after Lazarus died that Jesus turned up. Now, guaranteed, if you turn up at your friend's death 4 days later and they've asked you to come early, they're not going to be happy with you either. Same with Jesus. They weren't happy. But Martha did say this. This was her level of belief. She said, if you had have been here, he would not have died. But even now, I know and believe that if you just, that the Father will give you whatever you ask. In other words, she was laying the platform for Jesus to speak life into this dead brother of hers, Lazarus, and do something special. This is what Jesus says to her. Jesus says in John 11, says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asked Martha this question, do you believe this? And then he performed the miracle and he called Lazarus out of the grave 4 days after he had died. You know, 4 days after you've died, you're dead. And Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. He was dead. He wasn't half dead. He wasn't partially dead. He was dead. He was fully dead. He's as dead as you can get. So it was Lazarus. But Jesus, because of who he was, see, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. There's other verses in the Bible that talk about Jesus being the life source, that he is life itself. So when you are life itself, they can't kill you. You can't kill someone that is life itself. So Jesus died on the cross in his humanness, not in his deity. God was never dead. They couldn't kill God. Couldn't kill God. They killed the human body of Jesus. And the resurrection that happened on Sunday was God saying, I am God. I've always been God. I always will be God. Do what you like. You cannot destroy me. And so he rose from the dead. And here, Jesus, in the form of God, stands before Martha and says, literally, it might look like it's over, but it's not over because I'm here. I'm here. Wherever Jesus is, there's power and authority. There's something happening. And if Jesus lives in you, if that's true, if what the Bible says is true, and I'm choosing to believe what the Bible says today rather than other voices, if the Bible is true and Jesus lives in you and he lives in me, then there is that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in me. And it will touch every dead area of life. It'll touch everything that's died in my world and in my life. The Spirit of God, that same Spirit. So death is not the end. Death is a doorway to new life. It's a doorway to eternal life. And Jesus died so that you and I could live forever. He died so that you and I can live forever. And that's the only way I can rationalize death. I can't rationalize death any other way. When I see a 34-year-old mother pass away, or an elderly person, a mature age person, or a young one, there's no justification sometimes. There seems to be no fairness sometimes in terms of death. But the only hope I have, and the only hope we have, is that this is not the end. That we will be reunited. That we will see each other again. So the first thing we need to do is stop dying. And the second thing we need to do is start rebuilding. Live life as a builder. Be Bob the Builder. Build, rebuild your life. You see, God doesn't want to just save us. He wants to restore us, redeem us, rebuild us. And so don't wait till death to live. Start living now. You ever seen someone live as if they're dead? I have. I've seen lots of people live as if they're dead. The best way to live is live. To live vibrantly, to live full. You know, the best gift that we can give God with our life is to live our life to the full. Jesus gave us life so that we would live life to the full. So live now. Don't wait to live. Live now. You have no better time than to live right now, whether you're young or old. Doesn't matter how old you are, but to very intentionally live. Because rebuilding is, it's a process. It's a journey. You're always going to be rebuilt. You're maybe never going to be perfect. Like something, I'll be fully alive when I've overcome this or I've overcome that. No, be alive in the overcoming process. Be alive in the process of what God is restoring and of what God is remaking and of what God is rebuilding. So that means when you come to church and when you gather with other believers, don't feel like everyone's better than you, because nobody is. You're the best. Simply the best. You are the best. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you right now. Talking to you right now. I'm talking to you. Don't hang your head. Don't walk around like you don't belong. Don't walk around thinking every other family is more perfect than your family. No, they're not. They're just another family. They have their issues. Yeah, they do. We all do. Hold your head high. Live well, live brave, live every day till you die, live every day till you die. You know, I have people question me every now and then, ask me about my mum, because, you know, mum's not been well for a bit, on and off and in and out of hospital. And many of you know that we lost our dad 3 years ago. It was 3 years ago, Good Friday, dad went to heaven. And then Monday is 3 years ago, we buried dad, Mike, on Monday. So for our family, this is a real delicate kind of weekend. And my mum is so brave. She's so resilient. She is not always in the best of health. But when people ask me, how's your mum? I always say, she's fantastic. She's great. I keep saying, mum is going to live till she dies. She's going to live every day. She's going to live every day until she dies. You can't stop her. You can't keep her down. She's like a teenager. She's like a teenager. She's out and about doing everything. She doesn't let it hinder her. She doesn't let it hold her back. She's still driving. She's out shopping. She travels. She sees all the family that she possibly can. She's spending money. She's doing all the good things that you should be able to do. She's refusing to live dead. What a great message to a lot of 20, 30, 40-year-olds. Not to live dead because of something that happened. You know, you can live a country and western song if you want, but it's going to be a whine. It's going to be a whine. I don't mind country and western music. I'm cool with it. I'm okay with country and western music. But seriously, it's got to get a little bit more life in. And a little bit more fun in, and a little bit more happy in, and rather than living in that country and western zone and mode for our lives. Life is for living, and life is for enjoying, and life is to be free. That's what Jesus died for. Jesus didn't die for us to be solemn. I grew up in church looking at Christians thinking, really? Looking forward to becoming that, not. Just the solemnness around their world, the dryness, the boringness, the blandness around some of our world. And I'm sure that Easter's message is, it should be a whole lot brighter. Someone please just turn the lights on. Turn the lights on. He's not dead. He's alive. He's living. And that same spirit of life lives in you. Every day you get up and you wake up, thank God for a new day. Thank God I have the opportunity in this flesh to live another day. You know, when I speak about death and eternal life, it's not that we're looking forward to death necessarily. I mean, I want to enjoy as many days as I can on this earth, but no one knows what they're guaranteed. None of us know what we're given in terms of living this life. And so we live with the confidence of a future life, eternal life with God, with a resurrected body. Paul teaches about this in 1 Corinthians 15, our resurrected body that will know no limits. Perfect. Everyone say perfect. 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 Imagine what your resurrected body is going to be like. So this one's affected by sin. This one's slightly damaged. Some are more damaged than others. We're damaged. We are. But when we get to heaven, I won't be looking at you and thinking, you know, I'm not going to identify you. That won't be identified by this body. It's going to be perfect. It's got to be perfect. And God is perfecting you right now in terms of this journey that you're having here on earth towards a better life, towards eternal life that he died and rose again to pay the price for. He wants to keep you in this process. This is why church exists. People wonder about church. Like, I've seen people come to church and think, well, I've done the church thing. I came once. I now understand it, and they never come again. Church is not meant to be a once-off event. Church is meant to be, the Bible says we're called out to belong. We're called out to belong to this family, the family of God, and we're called out to be a part of it. And it's a gathering where we connect together to cheer each other on our journey, to celebrate each other, not to compare against each other, but to celebrate each other, cheer each other on in this journey. So we as a church, we are here to help people. That's what we are here for. We're here to help people, to show people Jesus, and to give people hope. We're here to help people build community and to know God and to discover their purpose. So don't resist the process of this journey, because it's very important that we help and cheer each other on when life gets a little bit difficult and a little bit delicate. That's why all the things we do together as a church are really important. That's why barefoot bowls is good for the boys. It's grounding, just to feel the grass under your feet and go barefoot. That's why soup and paint is good for the girls. That's why it's good to do that. That's why it's good to gather. That's why it's good to do the spread the warmth deal, where we're going to help people that have suffered through domestic violence. We're going to go and buy brand new robes, and they'll be presented to them, and they'll know they're loved and they're cherished. And what you're doing is you're sharing life, and you're sharing love, and you're saying to people, you're not forgotten, you're not neglected, but we're here for you. So start and keep rebuilding. Thirdly, stop doubting. Stop doubting. And in this, what I mean is, stop doubting about your goof ups, your mess ups, your muck ups, because God can turn all of that around. And God is turning all of that around. And God is making you beautiful again. And we all go through our brokenness. We all go through our moments. We all go through our valleys and our experiences. But God, if you continue to walk with him and let him work with you, will make you beautiful again. That's what God is doing, because God's strength is best displayed in our weakness. His strength is best displayed in our weakness. And God sees a greatness in you that you don't see in yourself, that you've lost sight of. And for many, they just let it die. They let it die. My plea for you this Easter is, don't let it die. Just keep living. And so, stop dying, start rebuilding, stop doubting, and start living again. You know, to be fully alive is what Easter is. That's the message of Easter. To be fully alive. To live full. To live the God life in a full way. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. He came to make dead people alive. He came to bring people to life. That's why he came. He came to give us eternal life. To live forever. Beyond the grave. That box is not going to hold you down. That tomb is not going to keep you. It's not going to hold you, because you weren't meant for that. You were meant to live. You were meant to live. And when we lose our loved ones, the comfort for our hearts is, this is not the end. It is sad. There's so much grief involved in that moment and in that journey, because we only know the flesh. It's all we know. But there's a life beyond that, a life beyond that grave that's eternal, where we will live forever. Jesus came to restore the brokenhearted. That's what his mission was, to restore those that had lost hope. He came to give beauty for ashes, to pay the wages of sin, to give us victory over death, and to ultimately give every one of us our greatest victory. Would you stand to your feet with me, please, today? Right across the hall. Stand to your feet. If you're online today, just be in this moment. Be present in this moment. Love it if you'd bow your heads and just close your eyes for a moment. Give people some grace space right now. Some grace space. By that I mean, let's just let people have a personal moment. Because this moment is so personal. It's so personal. I want everyone in the room and everyone online today to know that Easter is not an event that happened that you were separated from. Easter is very personal for every one of us. The fact that Jesus died meant that he died for you. The fact that he rose again meant that he rose again for you. He didn't do it just for the people at the hill that day or in the village that day. He did it for all the world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. He was paying the price for all of the world's sins. He was being raised again to life for all the world, for you and I. You're not excluded from that invitation. You're also not excluded from the penalty. The penalty was on all of us. And that free gift of eternal life that God gives and offers to every human being is for all those that would believe. All those that would believe. That's the one thing we do. We believe in God. We believe in Him. We trust our life into His hands. And that makes us right with Him. That keeps us right with Him. And then the process of the journey of redemption is walked out in our lives. And we have that promise of that same Spirit in us. And that promise of eternal life to live forever. I don't know where your life is at today, but maybe you're in the room or you're online today and the whole church thing might be new, might be strange, might be a bit bizarre to you. The concept of the things I'm talking about might be new. If that's you today, I want to give you just a moment to believe in God for yourself. For you to have your awakening moment, for the lights to come on for you, to understand that the world has been celebrating this moment called Easter for a long time for a very good reason. Not just to give us a public holiday and some chocolate, but to help us understand that this man called Jesus was much more than a man, but he was God in the flesh, as the Bible talks about. And they might have killed the flesh, but they couldn't kill the God. The God lives eternally and he's conquered death so that we might conquer death and live fully alive today. And so, God is someone to be worshipped. He is someone to be followed. He is someone to be received into our heart through believing in Him. And if you're here today or you're online today, and you don't know whether you've had forgiveness of sins, had your sins taken away, if you've not asked God to do that, then you're still owning them. You're still hanging on to them today, and you need to let it go. And you need to give it up. And you need to let them die. And that's what should be put in the grave, is your sin. Your lostness. Your brokenness. Put that in the grave and put it away. And let Jesus bring new life to you today. I want to give you a touch point moment. And by that I mean, I want to give you a moment that you can identify with, where you will forever remember that it was at that moment that I believed in God and I said yes to Him. It was at that moment that I believed in God and said yes to Him. And I'm going to ask you to do that by, in a moment, simply putting up your hand. And I'll see your hand. I'll ask you to put it down. If you're online, if you could write a comment and just write, I believe. Just simply write, I believe. And we'll have one of our team pray for you, make a contact with you if you're online. If you're in the room today, when I see your hand, I'll ask you to put it down. Nobody else is looking around. We're not here to embarrass you at all or parade you around. We want to give you some grace space right now where you can make a decision to say, God, I want to believe in you. give my life to you, have my sins forgiven, and I want to live fully free. And I want to live knowing that when I die, eternal life will be my gift, my free gift. I want to trust my life to you. I want to follow you. I want to walk with you. I want to ask you to make that your prayer today. And so I'll see your hand. I'll ask you to put it down and I'm going to pray. You can stay in your seat while I pray from stage. Maybe you've done something like this years ago, but it meant nothing to you today. It means nothing to you today. If that's you, I'm going to invite you to say yes too by the lifting of your hand. Jesus died so that you might live, and the only way for you to live is understanding that Jesus died for you and placing your faith and your trust in him. So if you're in the room today or you're online today watching now, if you want to say yes to Jesus today and say, God, I want to believe in you, while no one's looking around, everyone's got their head bowed, their eyes closed, would you please lift up your hand nice and high? Let me see your hand. Make a comment online today so we can acknowledge you're making your decision today, celebrate with you, and cheer you on today. If you're in the room today, right across the auditorium, if that's you, lift up your hand nice and high until I see your hand. Then I'll ask you to put your hand down and I'll pray for you today. Where are you today? Are you there? Thank you, sir. Someone else, put your hand down. Is that you? Thank you. Put your hand up. Thank you. Come on, is this your moment to realize today, Jesus in my heart is where I pray for you to come in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray today for those that are online, for those that are in the room, the two gentlemen who have lifted their hand to say, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. I place my faith in you. I place my trust in you. Help me to walk with you. Help me to know you. Help me to get to love you more and more. Help me to receive this free gift of eternal life today. Lord, take their sins away. Wash them away. Make them brand new and give them a brand new start today in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, church, let's give them a big hand today. Come on. Best decision you could ever make is to say yes to Jesus and ask him into your life. For those that raise their hand, I'm going to ask you just to come down the front. At the end of the service, I want to shake your hand. I want to give you a Bible. I want to congratulate you on the decision you made today. Before we go and have some moments in hospitality today, we're just going to worship the Lord, because I think that's what we need to do. Why don't we sing this beautiful old anthem? Come on, lean in, lift your hands. much for being with us on Easter Sunday. God bless you. Have an amazing weekend. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We have some hospitality on for you this morning. Meaning we've got free food. Still got to buy your coffee, but free food out there this morning. Why don't you enjoy some moments just connecting with friends and family today? God bless you. Travel safe if you're traveling over the Easter period. Great to see you and your family today. Don't forget to go to the Ask Me desk if you're registering for the men's event, the women's event, and different things that are coming up in church life. Thank you. God bless. Thank you.